Matthew chapter 15, I'll be reading verses 32-39, and have Reverend Scott please stand as the word is read. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 32. Jesus called his disciples and said, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they already stayed with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, otherwise they might collapse on the way." The disciples said to him, "Where could we get enough bread in this desolate place to feed such a crowd?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked them. "Seven," they said, "and a few small fish." After commanding the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish, gave thanks and broke them, and gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. They collected the leftover pieces, seven large baskets full. Now, there were 4,000 men who had eaten, besides women and children. After dismissing the crowd, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. Amazing. So let me remind you about what's been happening in our passage. Not too long ago, Jesus had fed on the shores of Galilee a crowd of 5,000 men, plus women and children, and fed them with five loaves of bread and two fish, and everybody had plenty, and there were 12 little lunchbox full baskets left over. Jesus had shown his power by walking on the water. Jesus had shown his power by healing all the sick. He has gone up now into an area out of the Jewish predominance into the area of Tyre and Sidon, up along where modern-day Lebanon would be today, out predominantly Gentile. And Gentile means anybody that's not Jew. So, those that weren't of Jewish heritage, Jesus has gone up there. He's going to be teaching to his disciples. And a woman is coming, begging Jesus to cast a demon out of her daughter. But he's not saying anything. The woman recognized what Jesus could do, and that he was a source that she needed to come through. But Jesus was ignoring her, it appears. Until the disciples said, "This woman is bugging us. Will you do something about her? She just keeps asking and asking and asking." The disciples needed to recognize that they couldn't do anything for themselves. Sometimes we face situations that people are asking for help that we can't do anything about. It's a problem that only Jesus can deal with. But the disciples needed to understand they couldn't deal with the situation. Then Jesus, after the disciples recognize they can't do anything, Jesus says, "It's not right to give the children's bread to their little house pets." Jesus had said, "I have come only to the lost sheep of Israel." Now, we know this is not a permanent. This is his ministry on earth was to teach in Israel, because God has chosen Israel as a special people, chosen them to go and proclaim the good news of God's mercy, compassion, and forgiveness to the entire world. It's always been God's plan to bring mercy to the entire world. But the people he chose were the children of Abraham, the children of Jacob, the children of Isaac, to be the spokesman. But they weren't doing very good as being spokesmen. They were so wrapped up at being chosen that they didn't want to tell anybody else about what God had offered. They didn't even want to abide by it themselves. And Jesus is in this Gentile area. The woman is calling out, and Jesus says it's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. But the woman replied, I'm not a dog. I'm important. Is that what she said? No. She recognized and accepted and Jesus' assessment of her situation and said, but even the children's dogs could eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And I got a dog that likes to do that. Unfortunately, it doesn't get many crumbs. But she is there. You'll look down from the table and look up. Drop something. Our little dog, interesting dog, cross a Basset Hound and a Dachshund, and that's what our dog is. Little short, but got a big body and a Basset Hound, but the colorings of the Dachshund. And she is, has nothing wrong with her hearing, because, you know, a crumb drops across the room, she can hear it fall. And she's right there, they get it up. I think we just named her, we call her Hoop. But this woman says, even the pet dogs get eaten crumbs from the table. She recognized that she wasn't worthy of what she was asking Jesus to do. But she had the faith that Jesus would do what she had required or requested of him. And Jesus healed her daughter. And then he goes to the north of the Sea of Galilee, over into the region, again, a Gentile region called the Decapolis. Decapolis from the Greek word deca, meaning 10, polis, meaning city. A group of 10 cities in that area, 10 important cities, and Jesus was teaching in that area of the Gentiles in the Decapolis. And people see him, and they bring all their sick to them, and Jesus healed them all, everyone. And it says in verse 31, so the crowd was amazed when they saw those unable to speak talking, the crippled restored, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they gave glory to the God of Israel. It wasn't they gave glory to their own gods. They recognized Jesus was from Israel, and it was through Israel that the blessing came. They didn't recognize him as the God of Israel, but they gave glory to the God of Israel. Jesus has been with this crowd 3 days now. And this crowd, Jesus says in verse 32, I have compassion on the crowd. I was watching a movie about World War II, and the group of soldiers came upon a Jewish internment camp in their movements. And the soldiers were shocked at what they saw. They had just came from a nice town. Everything was going fine, but just a little ways away was this, not a prisoner of war camp, but a concentration camp for the unacceptable under the Nazi Germany regime. The people in the town, even though they could smell the fires going, they knew that something was over there. They pretended like it didn't exist. The soldiers that ran the concentration camp, as they were pulling out, set the houses on fire of the people in the concentration camp, shot everyone they could that was a prisoner until they ran out of ammunition. They had no compassion on these people. Jesus did just the opposite. He had compassion when he saw their need. Not only were they hungry, they'd been with him 3 days, but he understood they had a greater problem, and we have a greater problem. If you turn with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world in this way." You could translate this, "God had compassion in this way. For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God." If we do not believe in Jesus' ability to forgive our sins and accept him as the only way for our forgiveness, we stand condemned before God. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, just as man was destined to die once after that to face judgment, everyone gets one chance. You don't get reincarnated and get another chance. There are some groups in the world think that. One life, and then you face God on judgment day. None of us know when that day will be, except God. We don't know. Many of us can think of those that used to sit in the pews with us that have gone on and faced judgment. They didn't know what day was their last. God does. And God has compassion on the entire world, that he came to his creation. I like to look at pictures of the universe when they get those rovers going on Mars, all the neat things to see there that no one has ever seen before until that rover went there. Well, God created all that. That little rock they say looks like something else, God made that. What's beneath the ice on one of the moons of Saturn and God does. What's beyond the furthest we can see? God knows. It's all in the span of God's hand. You know, I can't spread my hand out that far, but God can get the entire universe in his hand. God created all that. He spoke, and it happened. And he came to a little small speck of dust in his creation called the planet Earth. And he came because he had compassion. He has compassion on us. He desires that no one perish, but all come to repentance. God has never desired people to go to hell. He has always desired people to accept his forgiveness. And so Jesus saw the crowds, and he had compassion on them. They were hungry. They were hungry for the word of God, too, because they had been listening to Jesus for 3 days. Now, some people, if the sermon goes more than 30 minutes, they start going, no, you're going too long. I was told that we used to have a pastor here for a while, that his wife would give him the signal, well, you preached enough. Well, they were with him 3 days. And he knew they had a greater need than just food. But he meets our physical needs as well as our spiritual, eternal needs. And again, Jesus says to his disciples, we need to feed these people. Now, some of my students seem to have short-term memory loss. teach them one thing one day, and they'll forget about it by the next day. Teach them again, they'll forget about it by the next day. Now, some of us do that too. Well, his disciples seem to have short-term memory loss. Jesus had just fed over 25,000 people with five little sticks of bread and two fish. And then he walked on the water and healed all the sick. And the disciples go, I don't know where we're going to get any food. They're going to have short-term memory loss again later in the chapter 2. We'll see that. They forget what's obvious in front of them. The disciples say, we can't do it. And there's a spiritual truth to this also. The disciples could not meet the needs of the crowds. They could not meet their physical needs, and they could not meet their spiritual needs. We can do nothing to earn God's forgiveness. Turn me for a moment to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. There is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. Some of us think we're good enough to get to heaven. But God tells us that no one good for God alone. For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. But it is through God's gift that we are saved. The disciples couldn't provide, but Jesus said, take this bread that I'm giving you and pass it out to me. The disciples did have a ministry, as we do. They couldn't save the people, but they could take the message of salvation to them. They took the bread, and what happened? Everyone ate and was satisfied. You ever had such a good meal and they say, did you save room for dessert? No, it's dessert. I can't do it anymore. I wish you told me there's dessert, I'd save some room. But you've been so satisfied with everything you ate, you just can't eat anymore. Sort of like Thanksgiving Day when the men sit down in front of the television, fall asleep with a football game on. That was our tradition. We would all go to a relative's house, eat a big Thanksgiving meal, and then the football game would be on the television. And within about 10 minutes, everybody was asleep. Well, being that full, you just can't eat another bite. That's what happened with the crowd. Jesus doesn't leave us lacking. We don't need to add anything to God's gift of salvation. It's not believe in Jesus and tithe. Believe in Jesus and go to church. Believe in Jesus and read your Bible. Now, if you believe in Jesus to give forgiveness, you're going to do everything he asks. Not to earn salvation, but out of your love for what God has done. God has compassion on us and has provided for all our needs, but he doesn't force anybody to accept his forgiveness. He, as it says in Revelation, stands at the door and knocks. If anyone opens, he will come in. Jesus could force us to accept salvation, but he gives us a choice to accept or reject. I gave the example of the concentration camps in World War II. But we have people with no compassion today. People think it's funny to film the elderly getting beat up some unsuspecting person, they'll come up, there's some weird video challenge, you come up and sucker punch somebody from behind, and if you get it on your cell phone, then people will like you. Or when people are being attacked, people don't have compassion on them being attacked anymore. They're wanting to get their cell phone out and film it. And they'll ring around. It's not what God desires. It's not what God offers. God offers compassion because he understands what we're going through. And he holds out forgiveness to us. If we think we're going to get to heaven on our own, we're wrong. There is no other name under heaven given to men from which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. What are you going to do? Now, I said there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation either. Because if you can do something to lose your salvation, then you have to do something to have it. John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. If we're in God's hands, nothing can take us out. Unfortunately, there are some people that just pretend to be saved, just to pretend to accept God's forgiveness. Are you putting your trust in Jesus? There's a story of a translator going to this country to translate and the Bible into their language, and they didn't have a word for faith. And he was struggling how to translate the concept of faith. And so one day, one of the people he's working with came in and sat down on the stool and said, I'm glad I could put my full weight on this stool. So that's it. Are you putting your full weight on Jesus? And that even works right now. Everybody looks at me for just a minute. You're not looking at your pew. You're putting your full weight on your pew. You're having faith in your pew to hold you up. Unless you've been on one of those pews that's broken and you sort of on the balls of your feet ready to jump up at any moment. But we trust our pew to hold us up. We trust God to save us from the consequences of our sin. And he will, because he has compassion on us. He's not like the world. And the world's attitude of me first. Jesus has the attitude of you first. And that's why you stand with me for our close to them. Dear God, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your compassion for us. I pray that we, as a disciple, share your message of forgiveness for all of them, remembering your love and compassion for us and for everyone, and that you desire that no one perish but all of us. As you pray in our situation, in Jesus' name.
Amen.